This is the Uptick Newswire Stock Day Podcast, sponsored by InvestorsHangout.com. Subscribe to us on iTunes, Google Play, and YouTube to stay up to date on penny stock news and interviews, public information on OTC, pink sheets, and microcap stocks from around the world, with your host, Everett Jolly.
On today's show, I'm bringing you back a returning guest. Unless you've been living under a rock, we're going to talk about maybe one of the biggest infringements in the country. We're talking about they have an infringement against Comcast. The company that we're talking about today is Wherever TV Broadcasting Corp. is. They trade on the OTC markets. They were on our show back in April. You can find them on that OTC markets under the ticker symbol TVTV. Last time they were on the show, we talked about the spy film box. We also talked to the CEO about converting from a development company to an operations company, and I think we're just there. And with us today is the CEO, going to bring us up to speed on the company, no other than Ed Ciafani. Ed, welcome to the show.
Everett, thanks for having me again. Always a pleasure.
I read your press release, and I was floored. You're going to have to, you know, bring me up to date what's going on with this Comcast patent infringement filing. What's going on?
Well, you know, back in May of 2015, actually, I guess it was March in 2015, I was approached to take over Wherever TV. And sitting down with the founder of the company, Mark Kavicki, at the time, you want to look into, why are they asking me to take over, and obviously, because of, my ability to bring some financing to the company, I knew that was the big issue. And so part of my due diligence is to determine whether or not I wanted to take over the company and put my own personal assets in was, what was the company about, what risks was I putting myself in front of? And one of the things that Mark Kavicki, the founder of the company, identified was he had a patent, and he referred to it as a 431 patent. And to be quite honest with you, at that time I had probably zero experience with any kind of patent or patent infringement stuff. So I decided I was going to go out and have a firm that had extremely, strong success in defending or filing patent infringement cases and winning them. And that was a, Reese Gordon Mercatus firm out of Dallas, Texas. And I hired Adam Sanderson's firm to do a patent review for me back in March, May of 2015. And they came back with a report that identified that the patent was extremely defendable. The challenge with when you go into a patent, though, is that everybody knows it could be a fist fight. The bigger the Goliath, for lack of a better description, the tougher the fight's going to be because, they've been through this. They know the ins and outs of the patent world. They know what they're getting themselves into. And so before, I took over this company just for the patent, I also looked into what the OTT platform was all about. And I got very intrigued about it and what it brought to the market and what it was doing to the industry. It's not very often you have an opportunity to be part of a new and upcoming industry that has the explosive growth that the OTT platforms do. And I mean, there's many, many reports out there that show that this OTT marketplace could get into the billions on an annualized basis. And so I felt like it was a unique market that I wanted to get into. And so over the course of the last 3 years, as you know from previous interviews I've had with you, that our first step was to get the company in proper, corporate governance shape, getting the audited financials done, getting a board set, getting, everything that you would need to look, proper in the public market size. We then went out and started to redevelop the platform, as you know, and it took us a number of years. One of the things that I found out, unfortunately, is that with all the programmers in the world, the software that is out there that's available for creating the OTT platform, it's not geared for the OTT platform. It's not geared to be able to handle the transactional processes of which we have to go through. And I've had to revamp the website almost three times now in order to get it where the front end and the back end did everything they were supposed to do. And as we were developing this, we started to realize that this OTT market is growing at such a rapid rate, and that the company going from a development stage to operational, the board, in conjunction with long conversations and evaluations with our law firm, decided that At this point in time in the company's future, it'd probably be the best time to defend one of the major assets that we have, and that's the patent.
Well, I'll tell you what, when you said Goliath, this is a multi-billion dollar company you're taking on. They probably got attorneys already on the payroll and everything. I wish you well. I hope that you win. And because if you saw one of my interviews, I'm always for the underdog.
Well, let's talk about why we chose Comcast out of the many that we think are infringing. One is we feel that the patent is very valid. We think that the patent carries a lot of strength. So it's going to cost X amount of dollars. Whether I'm defending that the rights of our patent against some neighborhood person, or whether I'm going against somebody the size of Comcast. At the end of the day, under the court's eyes, when we go through the defense process, it's either going to be a valid patent and it's going to stand the merits that we expect it to stand up against, or it's not. And if we are going to spend the amount of money it's going to take to defend this patent, we might as well go after somebody that we're going to get the value out of it. And not only that, but get somebody who's going to see the value in what we're doing, so that moving forward, if we are, and we expect to be, validated in our defense, then the other majors that are infringing on us in the same context will understand that if we end up being validated through this action, then the rest of them will go, well, Comcast isn't exactly hiring, law firms and attorneys. So they're going to realize that if we are validated in this lawsuit, then it's going to limit the amount of capital we might have to spend down the road defending it against others that we feel are infringing.
Absolutely.
And I hope that people who have anything to do understand what they're doing. Go in and look up our patent. It's the last 300. It's a 431 patent. They refer to it. It's an extremely unique patent. Mark Kavicki, filed for this patent in 2006. It took him a long time to get it to get it issued in 2014. But there are multiple parts of this patent. It's not just a one portion. There's four or five different parts of this patent that come into play, and almost every bit of it identifies the mannerisms required to offer OTT to the consumer base. So we feel very confident. We spend a lot of money doing patent research as well. Patent searches, trying to find out if anybody else has a patent like ours, if anybody has anything that compares to what we did, where it might be invalidated to an earlier patent. I spent, through IP.com, which is one of the largest patent research software out there, with their help, and did a huge search. And we didn't find anything. And so with all the efforts that we put forth in this, we feel very confident, and that's why we felt this was a time to bring it to a head.
Well, I appreciate you bringing us up to speed on that. Let's change gears here just for a second. Let's talk about the bolts and nuts of your company. You got one division. It's the music division. I want to talk about that. Where are we at on that prospect?
Well, let me tell you, this is one of the most exciting divisions of this company, notwithstanding the main heartbeat of it. But the music division right now, we have a studio located in Nashville, Tennessee. We've made press releases whereby we've announced we've signed Daryl Worley, Aaron Tippin, and Colin Ray to brand ambassador and content creation. We've got a couple others that we're in conversations with. But Colin Ray, just recently, he's moved forward with us. He's created his own personal show called That's My Story. It's a song that he took to number one on the charts. Colin Ray's a multi-platinum award-winning country music artist. I think he has 15 number one songs. And one of the challenges that these artists have, that were at once upon a time at the top of their heyday, they were the leading A-listers in their time. They're still creating great music. They still have a very large fan base that follows them, but they don't have distribution. They have lost their ability to have distribution in the mainstream, as you would see like a Carrie Underwood or Brad Paisley have. They just don't have it. And that's just the nature of the beast. It's the nature of the industry. What we hope to be able to do is give them a whole different platform, a whole different distribution point, whereby it's not just audio. It's audio and video. It's getting up close and personal with this artist in our studios, in a music studio, recording studio. Some of these guys are doing some other reality type stuff, where Aaron Tippin, for example, he's a full-blown pilot. He was actually a pilot long before he got into country music. Daryl Worley, you know, one of my all-time favorite people. He is big into outdoors. He's a hunter. He's a fisherman. He's trapped snakes. I mean, he's got some really cool stuff he wants to do about the Tennessee River. He wants to do a big jam show in Muscle Shoals, Alabama, the heart of soul country music, you know, blues.
Absolutely.
And all these artists have a fan base that we call a super fan. Every artist has it, and it's in the industry, and the industry knows it's out there. And that super fan is that fan that will support the artists through thick or thin, never gives up on them. You know, will travel 1,000 miles to go see their artists play. And there's a couple of firms in Nashville that do this for a living. They do the research, and they're the ones that come up with the numbers. And they pretty much in the industry, it's about a 5 to 10% of their fan base, social media numbers, is what's considered a true super fan. And those are the fans that we're going after. Those are the fans that we're trying to have the artist go directly to them. And we're giving them the vehicle to do that, not just, you know, in the United States, but actually worldwide. So some of these artists that may have had a small footprint, you know, internationally, now have an opportunity to have a much bigger footprint. And we're doing live music. I'm sorry, go ahead, Everett.
No, I just said I know that you guys are working hard at it. You're, you know, trying to build a Rome, and you're not going to get there overnight. I was going to ask you, because we don't have a lot of time left, what's going on down in Latin America?
Well, Latin America, we've been growing that organically. We are in some pretty deep negotiations with some other partners, such as like we did with Google. We launched it in December, last week of December 2017, with Google. Google had some issues on their end that pushed our real launch, hard launch off of them till probably about the third week of January. And since the third week of January, we've signed up almost 27,000 people to the service. For either free pay or the free trial and or paying. I think our numbers down there are close to about a 7% conversion right now on what we're doing. We're adding some additional channels. We just got the authorization to add Viacom's group of channels to our platform down there. So we know that the Latin American market is starting to grow. They're starting to see the value in what we're doing in the live linear streaming. And we're real excited about where that's going as well.
You know, last time you were on the show, we talked about you were such in a development mode for years, and then we're trying to, you know, transpire over to an operational company. Where are we at in that forefront?
Well, everybody knows the issues that Facebook had with their data being hacked and you know, people's identities, you know, being, you know, sold or whatever. Because of that, it's been very difficult to do the standard social media marketing that everybody is aware of from the past. What we've just recently been doing is we've been doing a lot of Google display advertising and some other social media advertising, and the success rate we're having with that is just outstanding. We just did a recent one where our click through rates were almost 20%. Our conversion rates into an action were over almost 12%. Those numbers are really quite unheard of in the industry when you're doing something especially with our platform, where we don't have a whole lot of high-powered, high-priced, you know, content names like the CBSs and the Scripps and some of these ones that people are most commonly referred to. So to have that kind of a click-through with what we're doing, we know that the digital social media marketing campaign we're putting on is really starting to take effect, and we're just approved a major marketing plan that's supposed to kick off here in the next week. So we hope to start seeing some really great results out of that.
Well, Ed, it's always great to have you on my show. It's always great to catch up. You've said it all today. You've said a lot. Check out wherever TV Broadcasting Corp is. You can find them on the OTC market under the ticker symbol TVTV. Ed, I wish you nothing but continued success. Hopefully you'll come back on the show in 40 or 50 days and give us an update of what's going on.
Absolutely, Everett. Thanks again for having me. I hope everything's good on your end.
This program is entirely sponsored and produced by Uptick Newswire, LLC, which is responsible for the content. The opinions and information provided on this program are those of the guests and those of the respective companies they represent, and do not necessarily reflect those of the staff or management of Uptick Newswire. Uptick Newswire encourages all listeners of this program to do their due diligence and research when determining investment strategies that will work for them, or to seek the assistance of an investment professional. The guests of this program may have paid for its distribution and are not directly affiliated with Uptick Newswire or this station.